There, would you stand for the reading of God's holy word this morning? It says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with a psaltery, an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise, for the word of the Lord is right. And all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them. He gathered the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation he looketh. Upon all the inhabitants of the earth he fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death, and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee." Let's pray. Father, as we come before you today, Father, we are praying that as a nation we are hoping in you today, that our faith is in you, our trust is in you, and that you are the one and only, the holy name of Jesus, that we stand behind, we stand with, that Father, you may stand with us. Father, I pray that you are the one true God that we worship, and not that we worship many other false gods of the world around us. And Father, as we view some of that today, I just pray your hand would be upon your people and stir in our hearts. And I say these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Friends, what about our nation today? Is it a nation whose God is the true God? Or is it a nation found guilty of worshiping the wrong God? Beginning today with the God of self-pleasure. The God of self-pleasure is when we as God's people find ourselves wanting to do whatever brings our self-happiness. You see, the desire to follow the pleasure of this world, the desire to follow the pleasures that are around us are prominent. And each day as we look around, we're going to face different adversaries, different things that may challenge us, and we have to determine in our lives if we are going to be aligned with the one God of self-pleasure, the one that aligns us with sin nature and teaches us of a harmful habit of doing whatever makes ourselves happy. You see, brothers and sisters, we in America often want what is best for our own individual self. I don't know how many of you have began to think about what it looks like to be a part of a team, but a team stands together. Often, we today want whatever is best for our individual self. It doesn't matter how it affects others around us. It doesn't matter how it affects the lives of even those close to us at times, as long as it doesn't affect us too deeply, too intimately. Friends, that desire is dangerous. And we as individuals often serve that God. We serve that God of self-pleasure when we try to live for our own advancement in society, or when we try to seek our own hopes and our own dreams alone, or when our life becomes a seeking for a dream come true. Friends, the reality is that life was not meant to be easy, but we expect to get there. I don't know how many of you have thought of this thought before, but how many of you have encountered someone in your life, and you don't have to answer this, just think it, but how many of you have encountered someone in your life who they expected to start out as soon as they graduated college, they thought they should begin right where their families were. They should have everything that they grew up with. It shouldn't have to work for it. It should just be there. Friends, that's a lot how we are. We want to seek the best for ourselves. We want to start out with the best for ourselves, the best car, the best house, the best job, but it takes time to get there. You know, the reality of life is that we were meant to have to work for it. We weren't meant to just be given. And life, in fact, is very, very difficult. Even if we go all the way back to our early settlers of this nation, many of them would argue, I would imagine, that our life is very pampered. It was very difficult for them. And have you ever wondered this thought, why was it so important for them? Why was it so important for them to come into a new nation, to settle, to likely lose their life, at the very least risk their life for the sake of this nation, to risk the life of their family, to leave the home they knew, and to go halfway across the world to be here? Why was that so important to our early settlers? You see, the reality is that they had to give a lot of risk to be here. There was a lot on the line for them. It didn't just happen. And as they gave that risk, they were compelled to take such a risk, I would be surprised if any of us were willing to take such a risk just to live in a certain place. But you see, they weren't either, because it wasn't about living in a certain place. It was about their freedoms. It was about their rights. You see, this was more than a place of residence for our early settlers. This was a place where they could find hope. Thomas Paine is quoted to say, "Spiritual freedom is the root of political liberty. As the union between spiritual freedom and political liberty seems nearly inseparable, it is our duty to defend both." These people wanted freedom. They wanted to have hope. And let me ask you this, if your freedom was dependent on the risk of your life, would you be willing to do it today? I pray many here would say so. You see, many of our early American forefathers could not have served the God of selfishness, because the God of selfishness does not work hard for anything. The God of selfishness could not allow one to go on a journey that they would likely die on, because that would go against self-preservation. Self-preservation would be more important to them. And so what is more important to you today? Do you find yourself serving the God of self-righteousness, of self-comfort, of self-desire? You see, many of us have gotten soft. We have began to act in a selfish manner as the God of selfishness leads our life. Now, along with the God of selfishness comes this, the God of comfort. I don't know how many of you enjoy being comfortable, but there's nothing I like more than getting home at the end of a long, hard day and kicking up on the couch and getting comfortable. I'm sure many of you are like that as well. That kind of comfort's not necessarily bad. But the God of comfort is when our life, our own comfort, means more to us than the rest of the world around us. You see, we do not want to be put into uncomfortable situations. We do not want to be put into situations that may challenge us. We want to be put into situations that make us feel happy, make us feel comfortable, make us feel safe. But see, the hard part about uncomfortable situations are they're a necessity to life, and they don't feel good. Now, I know it isn't that many of us want what many of us want to hear, but today we probably could call many of ourselves comfortable. The reality is that the life that we live often is just that, a life of comfort and a life of ease compared to many before us. However, how about our Christian walks? Are our Christian walks a life of comfort? Because they better not be. Are we unwilling to do whatever it takes for the sake of the gospel? Are we unwilling to step out and to do what is necessary for the rights of our freedoms to worship our God? You see, that Christian, the Christian that is comfortable, is a dangerous place to be. The Christian that is comfortable is not a man or woman that serves God, because a comfortable Christian is serving the God of comfort rather than the one true God. You see, a Christian who isn't willing to do whatever it takes to serve Jesus in their own life cannot really be worshiping the one true God. Perhaps we're too embarrassed of our faith, or perhaps we're just lazy. But whatever it is, are we too comfortable today? You see, our forefathers' prayer at times was not around comfort. It was not around being safe. I'm certain they wanted safety and they wanted comfort. But their prayer was that they would be able to receive the freedom to worship the one true God. Our prayer today is lacking. Our prayer often is lacking because we're not serving God. Servanthood to God is lacking. We're too comfortable to stand with Him. And perhaps for many of us today, the proclamation to be a Christian is prominently just a claim in our life. Sometimes we as Christians can say we're a Christian, but our fruit does not indicate that of a man or woman of God. Yet when we have to follow that claim with action, we fail because we're not living it each and every day. The God of comfort has convinced us that we are saved and that we know Jesus, even if we are not. You see, God's word is clear when it says that on that day of judgment, many will say this. In Matthew 7:22-23, Scripture says, "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works.' And then will I profess unto them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.'" I pray that isn't you today. I pray that the God of comfort has not deceived you into believing that you are saved when you really aren't. Perhaps some in America today, perhaps even some in this church, have been deceived by this God of comfort. The one who tells them that they can continue to live in the same life, the comfortable life, the easy life that they have continued in. They can continue in sin, and they can continue as the same person that they were. Friends, today we need to be different. And we need to begin to be different in this very moment. Because we're called to be set apart. We're called to be different from the world around us. And being different, the reality is that that is not comfortable. Because being different is hard. It's very uncomfortable to be different. The Holy Spirit, however, has set us apart. It's set us apart to be different. You see, our early founders had to be different as well. They had to make a move to change the entire trajectory of their ancestors, the lives of those after them. And friends, they did it all for the sake of their religious freedom. And when they moved, they boldly moved. And today, we need to move out of our comfort zone. We need to be willing to risk it all for the sake of Christ. But see, that's the problem. Many of us don't want to risk it all. Risking it all hurts. Risking it all is scary. risking everything could lead to a loss of friendship. It could lead to a loss of family relationships. And in some circumstances, you see, it could lead us to a life in which we have none of our former life. But see, this brings us to this: the God of congeniality. By definition, congeniality is to be agreeable. Doesn't necessarily sound like a bad thing. We all want to be an agreeable person, an easy to get along with person. But the problem comes when we are agreeable to the point that we do not allow God to truly work. We just go along to get along, and we keep going no matter what. And the God of congeniality has convinced us that we must always get along. We must always be agreeable. We must always go with the flow. But what if the flow that we are following is leading us? What if it's leading our families down a path of destruction? Are we still just going along with the flow? Because the God of congeniality would seek that we would continue along that path and we would follow it straight to hell. But do you really think that this is the sort of flow that we should follow? Brothers and sisters, God did not create us just to go along with the world around us. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." You see, a chosen nation, such as mentioned in 1 Peter 2:9, must be set apart. A chosen nation must be peculiar. And if our nation is a nation that simply goes with the flow, if the people within our nation, ourselves, are people that just go with the flow, how are we following 1 Peter 2:9? We cannot be. Because we cannot just go with the flow and be that of what the Bible has called us to be. Our country's members, you and I, must stand up. We must be bold in the face of opposition. We must be set apart, and we must be different today. And it's only by God's great goodness that we may see true, life-changing hope in our nation once again. You see, many of us here today would say that our nation isn't what it once was. But then we're okay with just following the standard that we've set. We're okay with just continuing on that path. You see, God is not satisfied in mediocrity. He is not a God who wants to be mediocre. Our God wants superiority. He wants to be above all, above everything, and above our very own lives. And He wants to set us apart. He wants us to be different. He wants to be the superior leader of our nation and of these people in our nation, i.e. you and I. Is it possible our nation has worshipped the God of self-pleasure, the God of comfort, the God of congeniality, to the point that we have gotten on the wrong path and following the wrong path? You see, the reality today is this: no matter what has happened or will happen, no matter what you agree with or don't agree with about what I've said today, the reality is that if our nation does not stand with God, our nation will eventually fall. And so today, our prayer needs to be this: that our nation, in the darkest of moments, or in the best of moments, would be praying to be with God. You see, a nation that does not stand with God, a people that does not stand with God, cannot be blessed by God. And whether we were a part of it or whether we were not, perhaps today we need to make a move to this altar and we need to begin to pray for the forgiveness of the sins of our nation, whatever your view on that is. But today, friends, as we prepare in just a few minutes for an opportunity to do so, and as God has moved in our hearts and began to show us, hopefully, the own failures in our own life, how we have served the God of self-comfort, the God of congeniality, the God of selfishness, really, I pray that he has moved in your hearts and showed you how it is that you need to repent on this day. But we as a nation today, we need to come and pray for God's mercy to be upon our country and for our country to move back to the God that it was originally founded upon. And as we prepare to open these altars in just a moment, I'm going to ask that each one of us here would have God hope that God reveals those things to us in our nation, that we would come forward and we would pray for the sins of our nation, that we would seek to pray that our nation be returned to God and that it would live with God each and every day. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we bow before you on this day, and we thank you for the privilege that it is to see your word and to read the truth of your word. Father, we're praying that we would be set apart today. Father, that we would be different. And Father, I pray that each one of us would not make up lame excuses as to why we cannot come forward and we cannot come to this altar and we cannot pray for our nation. But Father, our nation needs prayer regardless of what our view on it is. And Father, I pray today that each and every one of us here would come forward and we would come to your most holy altar and we would pray for this nation today, for the sins of this nation, even the ones we were not a part of, that Father, we would repent of those sins and turn to you. Father, I pray today that your most holy hand would be upon each and every one of us. Father, if there's one here who doesn't know you today, and they say, I'm worshiping all these false gods, I'm not doing anything for God, I'm doing it all for myself, that Father, that they would come forward, and Father, they would receive you for the very first time on this day. Father, I pray for one here who, anyone here who might say they need to be baptized today, that they would come forward, that they would seek baptism on this day. They see their lack of disobedience to you today. Father, I pray that they would come forward, that they would be obedient to you on this day. And Father, I pray your hand, your mercies be upon us in all things. We say this in your name. Amen.